So friends, like you, I watch the news and I'm overwhelmed, but I want to let you know, just like we saw this morning and just identifying those leaders that have been at work this morning, God's on the move. God's on the move. And we've been going through scripture in Philippians 2, but I wanted to share with you the verse that comes right before that. We've been looking at the example of Jesus, this humble, humble king that comes to us in a manger. Didn't come in chariots. I was talking with my son the other day about accepting gifts that maybe you didn't ask for. And back in the day, when Jesus came, that's not the king they wanted. They want a proud king on horseback to come down and conquer Rome and destroy them all. And what did God do? Gave them a gift they weren't looking for. A humble king in a manger. And so Paul, as he writes to a church in Philippi in the book of Philippians, he talks about the example of Jesus in Philippians 2. But before that, I wanted to share with you what he says, how he kind of gives a little prep room for what was going on in the church and how to move forward. This is Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. He said, "Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come to see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news." Friends, Mission Vineyard, this is what you do. Against all the videos of Black Friday, against the sadness that we feel about the victims of the wars that are going in the Middle East and the flooding, the tsunami that happened in Indonesia last night. And you can go on and on and on. There's so much sadness in the world. But you, church, are together. You're standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. And I would add anything else. Don't be intimidated. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved even by God himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. In our small group this past week, we pray for one another at the end of the small group, and I ended up praying for somebody who did not get better when I prayed for him. And that happens a lot. And it doesn't mean we stop praying. We just keep praying. But, not right then. He was done. But you don't just, no more! And don't do that. But he did it. And there was another verse from 1 Peter that came up. And it sounded a lot like this. We've been given the privilege of trusting Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. There's something in us that allows us to be shaped by our sufferings while standing firm together in one spirit and purpose, fighting together for the faith. We are in this struggle together. Hear Paul here. What on earth is going on? We are in the struggle together. Church, look at your neighbor and say, we are in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past. You know that I'm still in the midst of it. Friends, if there's nothing that you remember from today except one thing, would you remember this? Love always has a purpose. Amen. Love always has a purpose. Love always has a purpose. You heard Paul talking about the good news. What is this good news? What is the gospel? And he, as he writes to another church in Corinth, he explains it very clearly. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, he says, "It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you never believed it at all. I passed on to you what was most important, what had also been passed on to me, and here it is." If you don't hear it, this is the purpose of love. This is love's purpose, is to share this good news that Christ died for our sins. Just as the scripture said, he was buried. He was raised from the dead on the third day. Just as the scripture said, he was seen by Peter and the 12. After that, he was more than 500 followers that had seen him. Some who are still alive at Paul writing this. Some that had died. And then he was seen by James and all the apostles. This good news is that this is real. There was a man born in a manger, a baby, miraculously, by the Holy Spirit, to come and save us. And guess what? He did what he said he would do. He died for the sins of the world. And to know that his death really did take care of his sin, our sin, he was raised to life. And that risen life was testified to not just by folklore, but by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. This is the good news, that in history this has actually happened, that you are saved, that all of us have been saved by Jesus, that he came humbly to save us, not in proud places, not to save just the rich and the famous, but to save those like you and me in humble state. Love had a purpose, and it was Jesus doing just that for us. Jesus said it himself in John 3. He said, as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, this weird thing that happens in the exile when Moses takes them, and they're all bitten by snakes, and Moses says, all right, God's telling me to build a pole. I don't know why, and at the pole, it has a snake on top. This is so weird, God. I don't know why you brought me through the river. You're doing all this. Now a snake on a pole, fine. And he raises it up, and every single one of those people that were bitten by snakes are completely healed. It's a weird occurrence. We don't know why God does this, but he did it. Maybe just so Jesus could use this example. Who knows? But just as Moses lifted up the bronze snake and pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. This is how he did it. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. This is the love that God has for us. Love has a purpose. Now, I've spoken to plenty of people in my life that say, well, John, I'm loving. Isn't that godly? Oh, well, okay, fine. Be loving. Enjoy yourself. Or, John, I'm in unity with all my friends. Well, great, you're in unity in a gang to steal things. Not the same. You see, love always has a purpose. And what Jesus is doing here as he dies, as he raises from the dead, as he talks about it to his disciples, as Paul sums it up for us, he's saying, this love does have a purpose. It's that we would come together to be unified through the struggle of life. This humble king showed us. He didn't come as someone that had an easy life. And he said, come together. Would you struggle? Would you get anything from Jesus and his love? And would you come together in that love so that you could give it away to the world? Would you have a love that has a purpose? That what you give away to the world wouldn't be something that you just give to them and then it disappears in a day. But you give them the gospel of Jesus that saves them forever. You see, church, we're super good. We're super proud of us for doing the earthly stuff. We are awesome at giving away stuff to the homeless. And that's a declaration of the kingdom of God, bringing dignity to humanity. That's part of it. That's part of that love of Jesus. But it's not the end. There's a pastor in Jacksonville, Oregon, and he has gone through hell. He lost his wife and daughter in a car accident some 10 years ago. Now his son is dying of cancer. His son has 4 kids and is married. And he stood in front of his church and he said, friends, I'm so sorry I've been gone, but I want to be with my son. He said, I know that some of you want this church to be a place where you can get your best life now. He said, that's not the end of love's purpose. Love's purpose is also for eternity. And so as my son dies, as my wife dies, as I walk through all of this, I want to let you know that love's purpose is not just for now, it's forever. So many of you have lost friends and family members this year. If I were to come and tell you that God's love was only good for this lifetime, it wouldn't equate to how you feel about your family. What you know about your love for your family is that there's something else out there. And Jesus declares the truth of it, that this love is not just made for this time. that this love has a purpose, and it's from now to eternity. I don't want to live in any other love than that. I want to live in a love that allows me to get filled up in such a way that I can disregard all the earthly stuff in order to give all that I have to the homeless. I want to live in such a love that I can sacrifice so much of my finances so that Rogers Elementary kids get food. I want to live in such a love that I don't have to worry about going up to somebody on the street in fear, because I know that if anything happens to me, the love of Jesus in me will carry on forever. That's the love I want to live in. That's the love of a humble king that gets in the dirt and says, I am for you now and I am for you forever, and so you don't have to worry about anything else. Those who got baptized today are preaching that message today for us. In this Christmas season, don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about the gift being good enough. Don't you worry about getting stressed out about the finances. Don't you worry about it, because you have a love that's stronger and bigger than it all, for now and for always. This Jesus came to us to show us love with a real purpose. This is 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. This elder John, we don't really know exactly who he is, except he's writing to us and he says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. That's who you are, church. That's why I'm proud to pastor, to be a part of this church. I love being a part of this church because this is who you are. He continues, 1 John chapter 4. He said, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. That's my prayer for you in this Christmas, that the love of God would come to full expression, that it would be an outflow. For those of you who have kids, that even when they whine about what they get, that you would just pour out your love anyway. For those of you who are lonely this Christmas time because you've lost someone this year in one way or the other, that God's love would come in full expression and give you everything you need for this season. That you would have enough love in you to pour it out. That you would have enough love in you that it would be an expression for eternity, a confidence that leads you on. Would you stand with me, please? We are not done with this love. This love is for us now, and it's for eternity. There may be some of you here who haven't known this love. You've been taught religion, but you haven't known this. You haven't known that Jesus came to you, that he came humbly. He didn't ask you to be perfect. He didn't ask you to be rich. He didn't ask you to be anything but just you, just so he could love you. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if this is you this morning, to say, yeah, I didn't have a faith like that. I don't know this Jesus, but I want to know him today. It's worth it today. You saw these folks getting baptized today preaching this message that there's nothing more important than this love. The reality of it is that this love can live in you fully, overflowingly, in the midst of suffering. This is a God that doesn't mind the suffering. He came into the midst of it for us. I'm going to ask for real boldness this morning. If this is you this morning, would you come forward? Say, I want this love. I've never had it before, but I want it today. Would you let it be a bold stance for you today? I know it's hard, but these folks that got baptized this morning, they already did the hard part for you. come forward this morning if this is you. I haven't had this love. I've had religion, but I haven't had this love. I want this love. I want to be filled with this love. I want to have the confidence of this love. Would you come forward this morning?